Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 28, and then reading through the 16th verse of chapter 19. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 28. This is God's word. "Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, 'What charges are you bringing against this man?' 'If he were not a criminal,' they replied, 'we would not have handed him over to you.' Pilate said, 'Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.' 'But we have no right to execute anyone,' the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' 'Is that your own idea?' Jesus asked, 'or did others talk to you about me?' 'Am I a Jew?' Pilate replied. 'It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?' Jesus said, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place.' 'You are a king then,' said Pilate. Jesus answered, 'You are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.' 'What is truth?' Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, 'I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?' They shouted back, 'No, not him. Give us Barabbas.' Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, 'Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him.' When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, 'Here is the man.' As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, 'Crucify! Crucify!' But Pilate answered, 'You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him.' The Jews insisted, 'We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God.' When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. 'Where do you come from?' he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. 'Do you refuse to speak to me?' Pilate said. 'Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?' Jesus answered, 'You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin.' From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, 'If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.' When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
We can't really imagine how brutal this was. We can't imagine the extent of the torment and suffering that Jesus went through, and not only physical and psychological, but spiritual. Because Jesus did, in fact, as we sang this morning, bear the wrath of God. He took our punishment. And it wasn't just the physical aspect of being nailed to the cross. He bore our guilt. He was absolutely one with the Father. And now, our sin separated him. In this account, we had in the previous passage where Jesus was before the chief priests. Here he is before the Roman official, the governor of the region. And the issue that quickly comes up when Pilate begins to speak to him here in chapter 18 is, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Many of you have memorized Psalm 2. And in Psalm 2, we see that the kings of the earth take their stand and want to throw off the reign of God, and the one enthroned in heaven laughs. He scoffs at them, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill." And so you better wise up, Psalm 2 warns. You better kiss the Son, lest he be angry. God had promised that one day he would send a Savior who would be the king. But in order to save us, he also had to be the promised sacrificial lamb that all these things pointed to. And the leaders of the Jews were absolutely clueless, totally missing the point. Please look right at the start of our passage, verse 28. "Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They didn't go into the place that was a Gentile residence because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. Jesus is the Passover. The whole Passover was pointing to him. They wanted to be able to participate in the ritual, in the annual celebration of God bringing his people out of bondage in Egypt. Now they are in the process, in violation of their own law, the trial during the night, the false witnesses, all this stuff. They totally displayed their impurity. But in order to keep themselves ceremonially clean, they're not going to go into a Gentile's residence because they want to be able to eat the Passover. I mean, the irony upon irony of all this is just astounding. They are in the process of having someone murdered, and they're trying to keep themselves religiously clean. That's the problem. That's the human heart. If you think that by following a bunch of rituals, saying the right words, doing certain things, you can make yourself presentable to God, you have totally missed the point of God's law. God's law displays his holiness and our sinfulness. We need a Savior. And if you think you can clean up your act and make yourself good enough that now God ought to love me, you've really missed it. The amazing grace of God is that he chose to love us anyway, and he sent his son to save us. But this son that he sent to save us, this sacrificial lamb, is in fact the king. He is the king. Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked? Or did others talk to you about me? Jesus' conversation with Pilate, recorded here in some detail, is not spoken of as thoroughly in the other Gospels, each one of them with their own perspective, sharing certain points of focus. We don't have a whole lot. This is not like the Sermon on the Mount. What was Jesus saying? Jesus said, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Pilate dismissively says, "What is truth?" and then goes outside. You're either on the side of truth or you're not. And Jesus said, "Anyone or everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So let me jump to the main point. We're going to continue in the text, but let me jump to the main point. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the king. He's not running for election. He's not trying to get folks together because if he can get enough support on the ground, he can win this thing. He's already won. When he commissions his followers, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples." He has won. He has conquered. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if we understand that, it changes the way we live. It doesn't just give us a sense of confidence in the midst of hard things. It causes us to realize we need to obey him. It isn't enough to believe intellectually that he is Lord. The demons know that he's Lord. You've got stories in the Gospels of when Jesus encountered demoniacs and they'd say things like, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" They know what's coming. It's not enough simply to believe intellectually that Jesus Christ is Lord. You and I have to bow to Him, surrender to Him, trust Him.
Well, it's really, really hard sometimes to just trust and obey.
Well, I understand it is hard. But here's the thing. It's a lot harder not to. No, it's easy to sin. Not in the long run. Okay? All of us are going to stand before God. Go back to Psalm 2. What are we told? Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. His wrath can flare up in a moment. Oh, there's that word wrath. I don't like that. I don't like to think of God in those terms. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Jesus died on the cross because God's wrath is real. The good news is Jesus took the wrath of God for all who trust in Him. If you are trusting in Jesus, you do not have to fear that someday when you stand before God, He's going to pour out His wrath on you and cast you into hell. It would be totally fair if He did that to me. But God isn't just fair. He's merciful. And so Paul writes in Romans that God did what He did in Christ Jesus in order that He might be just and the justifier of him who believes. God isn't just. He is just. He required payment for our sins. But He became one of us and paid the price Himself. Jesus said, "You're right in saying I am a king." Pilate goes back out and he says to the crowd, "You want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, no. So Pilate takes Jesus and has him flogged. Why? He hadn't done anything wrong. Pilate said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. I find no basis for a charge against him." But if you guys don't want me to let him go, I'll torture him. How sick is that? Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, clothed him in a purple robe, and went up to him again and again saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him in the face. They spit on him. They pulled out his beard. They tortured him. They beat him. And then they bring him out, mocking him, and again offer him to the crowd. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." Jesus is standing there, bloody, beaten, and dressed up in a way that mocks who he is. And as soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they were filled with compassion and said, "What have we done?" No. They shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate said, "You do it." They said, "We can't. We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." He claimed to be the Son of God. There are fools out there who say Jesus never made any claim like that. He didn't just claim to be the Son of God. clarified what that meant. That he is God himself. How does John start his gospel? By introducing his best friend Jesus as the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God. And the Word, verse 14, became flesh and lived among us. God became one of us. Fully God, fully man. And that's why Jesus was able to say to his enemies, before Abraham was, I am.
I'm taking grammar, and I think you're supposed to say, if you're going to claim to predate Abraham, before Abraham was, I was.
Well, no, because the name of God is I am. And Jesus said, you don't know who you're talking to. Before Abraham was, I am. And they wanted to kill him for that. Because if he weren't God, that would be blasphemy. But if he is God, they need to bow down and worship. They need to surrender their lives to him. And instead, their choice was, let's kill him. Let's kill him. So, when Pilate heard that he claimed to be the Son of God, Pilate was even more frightened. And he went back inside the palace and he asked Jesus, where do you come from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Now get this. Pilate is saying to Jesus, don't you know who I am? Don't you know the power that I have? Again, astounding irony. Pilate doesn't need to be concerned about who Pilate is. He needs to be concerned about who Jesus is. Jesus knew everything about Pilate. And Pilate's power could not compare with Jesus. So Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. What are they talking about all through this passage? Jesus is the king. So Pilate brought Jesus out, washed his hands, says, here's your king. Take him away. People are shouting, crucify him. Take him away. Pilate says, shall I crucify your king? They respond, we have no king but Caesar. And so Pilate hands them over finally to be crucified. I'm gonna tell you, one more time, Jesus is the king. He's the king. Regardless of your vote, regardless of your response, Jesus is the king. So now the question is, are you in rebellion against the king? Or are you yielded to the king? The original temptation in the garden was not to trust God, but to be your own God. You will not surely die, the serpent said. You can be your own boss. You can decide for yourself what's right, what's wrong. You make your own rules. Don't let anybody put their rules on you. And so they traded obedience to their creator, who loved them, for obedience to a creature that wanted to destroy them. Why would the devil want to destroy people? Because God loves people. He couldn't destroy God, but he comes to steal, kill, and destroy
that which God loves, you. But he can't do it without your cooperation. Who are you going to take orders from? You going to do what God says? Are you going to recognize he is the king and he loves you? Or are you going to say, I just don't trust him. I'm going to trust myself. Okay? Pea brain compared to infinite knowledge. And I'm going to go with pea brain here. Okay? I mean, I may not be the smartest person in the world, but I know what I like. God knows best. God made you. He's got a plan for you. His plan is good. Doesn't always feel good, but it is good. It is good. It is good. Jesus is the King. Yield your life to him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.